Would you do the honors?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, throughout the last 3 weeks, we heard a lot about Olympians with ties to our area, and we're very proud of this man and what he was able to do, bringing home the gold in the 4x400 relay. Chris Bailey, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Congratulations!
We're proud of you, man. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Hello, hello. Good morning. Thank you.
Well, talk about being over there. I mean, and being a part of it. We watched it from here. What was it like for you being there in Paris?
You know, it's always a different atmosphere when we go overseas to compete. Track and field in Europe is like one of the major sports here, like football, basketball, right. Baseball. So to compete in front of 80,000 fans, you know, is just out of this world. The energy is different. You know, it gives you a different type of adrenaline rush. Outside of competition, being in the village, you know, seeing athletes, elite athletes of different calibers that participate in different sports. You know, it's just amazing.
Now, we discovered something when talking to Gail Devers and some other people, Olympians that we had had on the show here. Were you a part of the opening ceremonies? Because I can't remember when you first started your events. But we found out the folks who were performing early didn't participate in the opening ceremonies. So were you there, and what was it like being on that boat?
So, yes, I did get to participate. The opening ceremony was the week before track and field started.
Okay.
And it was an experience. A lot of people don't get to see, like, the behind-the-scenes of it. It was a lot of waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was a different opening ceremony for this Olympics because normally it's always done at, I believe, the track and field stadium. This time we were on the river.
Well, what time did you, Chris? Start. What time did your day start? Let's put it that way.
The opening ceremony was in the afternoon, so
right.
So I had time, you know, go practice. Come back to the village, shower, eat, you know, get all that stuff done. And, of course, the opening ceremony was optional. But, you know, me being a first-time Olympian, I had to experience that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was optional.
Guess what Gail Devers said. She's never taken part of it because when she was in the Olympics, track started sooner. Track's at the back end of the Olympics these days.
I'm just thinking, okay, the man just said he went and practiced. He got home, had some breakfast, all that sort of stuff. And I'm just thinking, you have the world's athletes about to come down this river. You got to get to the boat. I'm sure there was some kind of practice thing they ran through or somebody told them, okay, y'all got to be here by such and such a time. When you got the world of athletes one by one conga lining down this river, I'm thinking your day starts at 4 a.m. That's just me. But apparently it didn't for you.
Nope. Because, you know, it's a lot of different disciplines regarding, you know, the different athletes in their sports. So everybody has to have time to mentally prepare for their upcoming competitions and stuff. So they don't force you to, you know, partake in these activities. And they also don't make them early in the morning to where it'll throw off your schedule for the rest of the day.
So they can't keep the main thing the main thing. Folks, we're spending time this morning with Chris Bailey. Great to spend some time with him. And he is social. You want to look him up. He is at CB400M, CB400M. At what point did you want to make this a goal? There are a lot of people who are great when running on track teams, track clubs, high school, college, and then there are people who make Olympics a goal. At what point did the light go on for you?
I would have to say this season, honestly, because in high school and even in college, you know, I wasn't always one of the top guys. Like, I was never really highly ranked. I mean, coming out of high school, before I graduated, I was running 48.5 in the 400. You know, I decided to run summer track just because I didn't know my next move. Mm-hmm. And I ran 47.5, and my first college coach just so happened to be at that meet, and he offered me a scholarship on the spot. And that's how I started my track and field journey in college at Mississippi Valley State University. You know, ran there for a year and transferred to University of Tennessee. you know, spent my time there, and now I'm here in Arkansas, and, you know, that's where all the puzzle pieces started aligning, I would say. You know, I've had, last year I thought that was the best season ever because I finally broke that 45-second barrier. You know, I made my first world team as a relay alternate, and then, you know, everything just kind of fell into place this season because I finished up my master's this year, and it allowed me to focus more on the track side of things instead of having to worry about school or, you know, peaking for four different championships like I did in college. You know, everything was more laid back, and I feel as though that was a key component in allowing me to drop my times this year and, you know, focus on things outside of running, like recovery, mm-hmm. and, you know, just being mentally aware of what I wanted to do and focusing on my goals. You know, I came back home in April, I believe, to run at a track meet in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and I ran a lifetime personal best. That's when I first broke 45 seconds this season, ran a 44.4, and at that moment, that's when I knew, okay, I'm prepared for this. I can make this Olympic team, and that was the goal, and I achieved that.
I'm just curious, Christopher Bailey joining Sam McGregor Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I know it's not just sport, but I'm just saying, you got to figure. I wonder what my time would be. What is your time in the 100?
My time in the 100?
Yeah.
That comes from high school. I haven't ran 100 since 2018.
Okay.
But it was, I think it was 10.98.
10.9?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. I don't like him. Because he can run faster than the speed limit in some cities. That's why I don't like him. Hey, go ahead, man.
That's fantastic, friend. Well, you mentioned high school. Give some shout-outs to some people at Carver, some people here in town that really saw you and gave you some encouragement here.
Oh, yeah, shout-out pretty much everybody at Carver that had a role in getting me to where I am today. It'll be a lot of names to name, so I ain't going to hold up time like that. But,
okay.
You know, my track coaches, rest in peace, Coach Kevin Bell. Mm-hmm. You know, still got Coach Perry up there. You know, Sergeant Major Mitchell, rest in peace to him, too. He was my JROTC instructor, actually. Mm-hmm. But he saw my potential one day. We were just out at the track, and, you know, he gave me that nudge to actually join the track team or go try out for the track team. And so, you know, I give kudos to him for that.
Fantastic.
Go
ahead. Anybody else?
Coach Scott as well. You know, he didn't coach me directly, but, you know, he's always supported me. Coach Miles, Coach Q, you know, all of those guys.
Fantastic. All right, talk about the race, 4x400. And, you know, we know what happened with the 4x100. So, you guys, were you feeling pressure because of that? And you had to get things off to a good start. You getting into the blocks, how you visualizing this thing?
So, starting the 4x4 final, mentally I was going in there and I was like, okay, this is not your first time running the 400 here. That was my fifth 400 in 7 days, because I also, you know, ran in the 400. I mean, yeah, the open 400 final.
Mm-hmm.
So I had three rounds with that. Then I also ran the prelims for the 4x4. And so, you know, mentally I was prepared. I wasn't worried about anyone else. I was just focused on getting that baton around the track as quick as I can. And I wanted it to be a little quicker, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I can't be disappointed at that because I ran 44.8 first rounds of the 400. I set a new personal best in the semis with 44.31. And then I ran 44.58 out of lane two in the final. And so, you know, I couldn't be too disappointed about my performance. I got the baton around in 44-58, so it wasn't a slouch. You know, the world record, their lead off, Andrew Vollman, he ran 44-5 as well. So, you know, and Coach Quincy Watts was there. He's also one of the guys on that world record 4x14.
Right.
I went to him and I was like, man, I wanted to run 43 out of the block. He was like, do you know how many times someone has ran under 44-5 lead off? And I was like, yeah, that's true. But I wanted to do it.
Well, hopefully this is the first of many medals for you.
Of course.
You know, you got your sights set on Los Angeles. This is going to be great. You get your home folks coming in. It's not even a big road trip for that one.
Right.
That is true.
Now, you'll spend the next few years kind of over in Europe and being at those events?
So, yes. Me and my agents will, sit down and plan out a schedule.
Okay.
But, yes, I will be in Europe a lot this upcoming season.
All right. Well, hopefully at some point we get to see you run back here in Atlanta. I know everybody will love to come out and see you. A lot of people who know you, remember you. And so we'll hopefully at some point we get you on the schedule and get you on the track here in town. All right?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
All right. We appreciate you spending some time with you, man. Everybody here in town is really proud of you.
Yes, Chris.
And keep it up. More good things coming on along the way. And thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
All right.
It was a pleasure.
This is our how many gold medalists have we? I can't remember last time we had this many gold medalists.
I know it.
I know it. In 1 year. And this dude, he's just starting his.
Yes, this is fantastic.
It's going to be wonderful.
And you know, and talk about his journey. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some people know back when they're in teenage. It's kind of a late bloomer, you might say.
Right.
But he saw it and went after it, and he got it.
As long as you get to the party, it don't matter when. Long as you get there. Switching gears, NASCAR's got some stuff going on, so we got to talk to Dustin Long. He's up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We'll be right back.